Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for another opportunity to be in the house of God, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that as we were speaking about angels. Dear Heavenly Father, we need sometimes to encourage ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. As what we understand or know, Heavenly Father, we have the best thing that the world or any of the universe or in heaven knows about. Lord, as Brother Danny or someone mentioned last week, dear Lord, that the angels in heaven desire to look into the plan of salvation. Desire to look in what we have, dear Heavenly Father. And as I said, sometimes we have to encourage ourselves, dear Lord. We're a blessed people. Dear Heavenly Father, we would love to have the room filled. We'd love to have our family. We'd love to see people come and rejoicing to serve God and worship God and be a part of the kingdom of God. But dear Heavenly Father, your word also told us that there shall be few that shall find this way. And Lord, we ask you to be with us. Help us that we may be a part of the few. But dear Lord, we're so thankful that we're a part of that few, dear Heavenly Father. So we ask you to be with us as we look into the Word of God this evening. Dear Lord, help us, dear Lord, to have a desire to continue to press the battle on. Have a desire to finish this race with faith, dear Heavenly Father, that we may hear well done from you one day. And we'll thank you for that. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless us. Anoint me that I'll bring the Word as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Yes, amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse 5. Read just this verse here. Paul dealing with Timothy here. And he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." That's a wonderful credit to Timothy, and to his family. And that word, when he says here, the word of unfeigned, that word meaning genuine. You know, if you call someone to be someone that's genuine, that's a pretty good credit to somebody. They're genuine. You expect them to be honest and sincere, and just you trust them completely. There's no thought of mistrust there. But the definite genuine. Sincere, authentic, real, a solid foundation. And he says here, he talks to Timothy here a little bit about his grandmother and things. And I thank God that we as saints, we can have some that we know among us that have been faithful, that have finished the course. And I think of sometimes, there's the talking about sometimes being in a race. You know, we always make comments sometimes, the first mile is not necessarily the most important, but the very last mile. The very last mile of a race. You know, some people can get into a race and they can start out real well. I'm talking about a natural foot race or some type of car race. And they can start out real. And they can do well for a long period of time. And then something happens, they get weary, they get tired, a leg cramp, something happens, the car breaks down. And the very last mile, there's been even race cars that I don't follow too much on circle track race cars too much, but they run 500 miles or 200 miles, and the very last lap, something could happen. They may be in first place for the last 20 or 30 laps or whatever. The very last lap, they can make a mistake, touch somebody, and crash or wipe out. I think they do it with those type of cars. I know they do it with top fuels and things. They put just so much gas, they have it calculated, to where they have just enough fuel because they don't want any extra weight in the car so they can run a little bit faster. Just enough fuel to where some of them, when they cross the finish line, they're running out of fuel. That car shuts down. And they may calculate it incorrectly, and just before the end, the guy behind them passes them because they calculated it incorrectly. Well, that's one thing in a foot race or in the world's race and things, but when it comes to the things of God, we may start out well, we may do well, but it's that very last mile of the race. It's that very last mile that everyone will remember us by. You know, at your funeral, they may say, well, they were a piano player, they were in the choir, they were a minister, they were a Sunday school teacher, they did this in the congregation, that in the congregation, they were just always a worker in the congregation. They may say these things, your eulogy at your funeral, but you give it 2-3 years down the road or 5 years down the road, most people will have forgotten those things, but there's one thing that they'll remember. You've been faithful. They were faithful. They died faithful. They stayed true. And that's a great credit. And as Paul is giving this to Timothy, he goes, I can remember. And I'll just use the word, the genuine faith, the real faith that was that dwelled first in thy grandmother and in thy mother, Eunice. Now, there's several of us here that have had family members that have gone on before us. You know, Sister Ann always talks about her grandmother. You know, when I first got saved, different congregations we were fellowshipping with, they remembered my grandfather. A lot of people, if some of you remember, we had our 50th anniversary for the church, and we had a little choir up here, and I wasn't saved, I don't know if I was saved a full year yet. I don't know if I was, or not. I might have been a year. And Brother Davis, you know how he is, he called me up here and he stood me here, I was back here, and he stood me right here, and he says, did you know who this young man is? Because not too many of them knew me. He goes, this is Brother McCall's grandson. Kind of embarrassed me somewhat because I wasn't used to being a forward there like that. But many people, Sister Spinogle remembers him. She often tells him, I talk to her from time to time. She tells me about my grandfather and tells me about my grandmother and them things. I don't have much remembrance of them. And they've been gone for over 50 years, 60 years, because they were gone. He died before, right after I was born. But you know what they remember? They were faithful. Yes. Sister Ann's grandmother, Brother Ken, your dad was faithful. We don't know a whole lot. I don't know some of the other saints. I don't know a whole lot about him, but he was faithful. He was a member all down through the years. Sister Carol's father was faithful. Sister Hawk was faithful. Different saints down through the years, we can remember their names. We may not remember exactly the work they did or the things that they put into it. We think about, I've told some people that Brother Gilbert built this pulpit here. A blessing, and thank God for that. But the faithfulness, to stay faithful. All the way down to the end. And Paul is giving Timothy a credit here. He goes, I can remember your grandmother and your mother. I can remember their faithfulness, their genuine faith. And he says the last part, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. What wonderful words to encourage someone to have a good character about. As Paul mentioned this about these two women of Timothy's family members. But Paul says, I am reminded of these things. And he goes on to say, Timothy, that he's also persuaded. What a badge of honor that can give. And I believe as saints of God, that is the greatest badge to say they finished the race faithfully. They finished. And you know, the opposite can happen too. You know, somebody can get saved and they stumble and they fall. They may backslide, go away, they come back, they go away, they come back. But it's somewhere down the road. And they get settled in, and they get saved, and they just get settled in, and they finish the course faithfully. You know, we remember that. We may not remember some people may remember a little bit of the difficulties they had, but in time past, but thank God, when we hear about them, they finish the race faithfully. Amen. That needs to be our desire, saints. That needs to be our desire. Lord, and of all the things, help us to finish the race. Paul said over there, you don't have to, you can turn over there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, just one page, and Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And what's the last phrase he says? I've kept the faith. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've done some things. I've finished my course. And many of the things we recognize, we can read about Paul. We have them written down. But one of the greatest things is that he finished this race with faith. A lot of times we think in the Bible, mentioned about people that are in the Bible, that were a great blessing, that finished the course. Many in the Bible that were under God's power, we think of Moses, we think of them in the Red Sea, and Elijah, and Samson, and David. But the greatest credit goes to those that are faithful. We think of what Moses did and what David did and all these things. But and go over in Hebrews, we'll go over there a little bit and just touch on some thoughts there. But you go over in Hebrews, of all the things, it goes through a list of things they were faithful with. The saints, they were faithful, they stayed true. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, we're going to pick up in verse 14. Parable of the talents, very familiar to Jesus, brings to him. In verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And to every one according to the several ability, that straightway he took his journey. And when he had received, and he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents, other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the kingdom. Enter thou in into the joy of the Lord. Well, we know the rest of the story. There was 2 other people. And another person, I thank God, God does not measure us up one with another. He measures us up what according he gives us the ability that we have faith to handle and do. I thank God I don't have to do better than Brother Danny or Brother Ken or vice versa. We don't have to compete against another. We have to just be faithful what God gives us, what God puts in our lot, in our lives. And this one man that he had given 5 talents with, he was faithful at it. He took care of it. He gained 5 more talents. But the thing that we recognize there, when he came back there, he says, well done, you have been faithful. You've been at work. You've been steady at it. You've been true. You weren't staggering. You weren't lazy. You weren't just doing those things. Well, the other man that he gave only 2 talents to, he came back the same thing. That man, he had gained 2 more talents, and he said he gave to him the exact same credit. He goes, you've been faithful over just a few things. I'll make you faithful over these things, and I'll make you a faithful servant in the kingdom also. But the last man, he says there, and the last man, didn't write it down, which he had received 1 talent, verse 24, and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. And lo, here thou hast that is thine. And the Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. You know, he had the opportunity just like the other ones. God gave him the ability. He said, only have one. And you would think you would only have to gain 1 more. It wouldn't be hard. You know, some of them, depending on how much it was, to gain 5, that would be a little difficult. To gain another 5. Even if you were given 2 and you gained 1.5, I believe the parable is just dealing with some things. I don't think he had to gain 5 or gain 2. But even if he gained 1/2 one. He gained more, and I believe he would have gotten the same credit. But this man, he did nothing. He did nothing. He says, thou art a slothful servant. He's a slothful servant, and thou knewest that I would reap where I sown and gather where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like this. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be faithful, or are we going to get weary in the battle? Every one of us understand about being weary, sort of with the battle, so to speak. My thought was here. We sometimes don't get weary in the battle, but we get weary of the battle. You know, a lot of times when you're in the battle, is where you're a little more diligent. You pray, you grow closer to God. But when you're in a battle after battle after battle, you know what? You get tired. Just like a race. I've told you that when I used to do the March of Dimes walkathons, and that was 21 miles. I was young when I did it. I used to do it. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I didn't have any trouble. You know, like say I was young, and I'd walk it. Now my next day, I was sore. My feet were sore. And towards the very end, I think Linda walked with me one time. Did you do it one time? And towards the end, you know, your last couple miles, you're like, ooh, I'm sore. You know, you can't wait to get off your feet. But there were some people, they had seven checkpoints along the way, about every 5 miles or 4 miles and everything. You had to get them to sign your paper that you walked so many miles and sign your paper, you walked so many. And I remember this one particular time we were walking with, there was a group of ladies that were walking there beside us, and we come up to the very first checkpoint. And I think the first checkpoint was a little bit longer than normal, maybe like 7 miles. The rest might have been 3 or 4. And they said, oh, there's the bus. They said, get us on the bus, we're done. And I thought to myself, there's 21 miles that we need to walk. And after the first 6 or whatever 7 miles, you're done. And you know what? Some people are the same way in the spiritual realm. They may get in it, then the Bible teaches us we need to count the cost. Jesus says, I don't want you to get in this race and don't consider it. Don't get into this race without the intentions of finishing. In Hagerstown a couple weeks ago when I preached the message for the young people, and a couple young brethren came up to me, and they were 16. I think one was 16 and one was 17. And I talked to them a little bit, and they were asking me some things. I said, let me tell you, I was the same age as you were. I was 17 years old when I started in this race, and I can remember very clearly I had no desire to get in this race and just try it. I had a desire. My desire was to finish the race. I didn't want to just get in it and see how it was going to work for me. I got in it to finish the race, knowing at 17 years old that if God gives me my 70 or 80 years, that's a long race for me. That's a long way to go. But my desire was to finish. And I thank God today my desire is even greater to finish it. I can see the finish line a little bit. I can realize that it's not that far out. If God still allows me my 70 or 80 years, I realize, you know, when you're in your 20s, you don't even think about death. You don't even think about 70 or 50s or whatever. I think I have it written down here a little bit later. You know, for 40 years, I've been saved a little bit over 40 years. At 17 years old, 40-year-old person was old.
That's true.
I'm here, a 40-year-old person is young. But my desire was to finish.
Amen.
And my desire is still to finish by the grace and help of God. And I know I can finish by His help. Many times we look at people's accomplishments. You know, David got in trouble with the Lord one time for counting the people. God didn't want him to do that. Look at my kingdom, how great my kingdom is. And some people, we may do that today. We have worldwide ministries out there, the famous ministries, and they'll tell you, we've got maybe 100,000 people. I think it's interesting when people tell me, we have 300 or 400 people coming to our service 2 or 3 times a day. And that's what a lot of times people look at. People look at their accomplishments. They look at the degrees they may have. I went to college and I got a master's. I got a bachelor's degree, a master's degree. I've got a doctor's degree. I've got this degree. I've got these things. I've accomplished this in my life. And there's nothing really wrong with those things. But they're not the things. But at the very end, people can have all these degrees, have all kind of accomplishments associated with them in their life. And their eulogy can be impressive when they die. But did they die with faith? All those things have zero value if they died unsaved. Paul said to Timothy, I believe your faith is also genuine. I believe your faith is also true. As I mentioned, we think about it a little bit. I said a little bit ago, it's been over 40 years by the grace of God I've been walking with the Lord. And we can sit here and mention, I mentioned a few already that have gone on. Maybe I don't remember what they did. You know, Sister Hawk, faithful. I've often said this even when she was still alive, when I'd talked to some other saints or some ministers that I hadn't seen in years. Maybe they haven't been here. And Sister Hawk was one of them. They'd ask, how's Sister Hawk doing? I said, she's saved and still doing well. Faithful. She did. She worked in the church. I don't even know what all she did around here. And one time she did clean the church. That was a part of what she did. She did all kinds of things. Sunday school teacher, sang, whatever she did. But the greatest accomplishment, she finished the race faithfully. Sister Meyer was a faithful servant. Brother and Sister Bush, Brother Hawk. I could probably go on to many, many other ones. That God blessed them and helped them. And I said, many times we don't remember what they did, but we're thankful that they died in the faith and we have that confidence. He that endureth until the end may be saved. You know, there are some in the Bible that it just gives credit to. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a second. Considered to be the faith chapter. And all the way down through this chapter, he gives people's names and most of what they have accomplished, things, short little things here and there. But I want to go down to verse 32. And he says, and what shall I say more? And what shall I more say? For in times would fall to me tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. In verse 33, and whose face subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. At verse 33, he says, whose faith subdued kingdoms. I thought about that as I read those men, and we know most of those men in that verse of Scripture and some of what they did and things like that. But he says, whose faith? You know where our faith subdues sometimes? You know what kingdoms we fight sometimes? Discouragement. Our faith has to overcome discouragement. Our faith has to overcome sickness sometimes. Our faith has to overcome false doctrine, false teachers, the enemy of lies. Our faith has to overcome doubts, hypocrisy from people. Our faith has to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Even though I see some that might be blatantly wrong or doing things wrong or the false religion out there just destroying the name of Christ. It can make us come bitter. It can make us come upset. But my faith, by the grace of God, I need to stay humble. I need to stay submitted to God. I need to stay peaceful in my own soul to God. And he says, he gives these people's names. I think, Lord, help us. And one day when we're gone, there will be some that may remember they stayed faithful. They fought some of the battles that we fight today. Those that have gone on, they fought some of those battles. You know, I've heard some of different ones, and Sister Meyer was one, I think Sister Ann used to say. You know, she battled the enemy at the end. I mean, he wasn't, well, she'd been living for God for many, many years. I'll just leave her go. No, he battled her right to the very end. I think I remember Brother Davis saying one time with Brother Reynolds, that maybe in his last days, he may have been on a sick bed, and he said to Brother Davis, if I remember correct, he goes, Brother David, I don't know if I was ever sanctified. Remember Brother David saying that? Brother David said, Brother Reynolds, probably one of the sweetest men I've ever remembered then. But the devil will battle us. And we may not, but the faithfulness, they just held faithful against the doubts of the enemy, against the struggles of the things of the world. Are we being faithful? Not going to read all this story. We read this a couple weeks ago. It's back to 2 Kings chapter 5. Go read this story a couple weeks ago, and you'll remember most of it, and you all would have remembered it anyway, but 2 Kings chapter 5, picking up in verse 1. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And in Cyrene, he had gone out in companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and he waited, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her, mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So we see the man here, Naaman. He was a mighty man of valor. God had blessed him. We know the story, but he was a leper, and he had a sickness. And I think about this story from time to time. And here they brought this young girl away out of one of the battles they went in. They brought her and they allowed her to be a help to his wife, a servant to his wife. And she must have had a love for him and a care for him and a name and everything. And she said to his wife, she goes, "You know, there's a prophet in Israel that could heal him of this disease." There again, what we talked about some this morning, doesn't tell us her name. There's nothing else in the Bible about this young girl. But she had faith in the prophet of God. Well, you know the story. Naaman, he sends letter to the king of Israel. And he says, and when sending gifts and everything, the king of Israel gets upset. He goes, "Who am I? I'm not God. I can't heal. I don't know all those things." So, of course, Elijah, he hears about it. And he says, "Send him to me." And you know the story. Then here, Naaman comes with all his entourage. He comes with a whole bunch of crowd, with chariots and people and everything. It's going to be impressive. He gets there and he knocks on the door. Knocks on Elijah's door, and Elijah sends down a servant. And he tells him, he says, "The servant said to tell you to go and wash in Jordan." Well, he got upset and he went away. But someone else was in this story. One of his servants. That obviously had some faith also to just believe what the man of God said. Amen. He said, "If he'd have told you to do something great, you would have done it. Because you brought all these chariots and horses and men and gifts. And all, you did all this to be impressive." He goes, "But if he'd have told you to do something great, you'd have done it. But Master, he told you to do this simple, small thing." Thank God for his willingness to listen to his people.
Amen.
And he went down and washed. And he was healed as a leper. Mm-hmm. I think, Lord, help us. Help our faith that somehow we may encourage someone. We may give someone some encouragement to trust in God. To trust in the things that God has for us. Doesn't mean we have to do large things, something we would have spoke of this morning and all. But Lord, help us to be faithful to where someone can look at our lives and recognize that God's in our lives. I had somebody tell me the other day, and a friend of mine, he and his wife, they went to look at something, and what it was, they went to look at a boat, and this time of the year, boats are all winterized, and so to take them for out to on a ride, they're called sea trials. To take them out on a sea trial, it wasn't really fit to do just yet this time of the year. So him and his wife got beside themselves, and they said, "You know, what are we going to do? Nobody ever buys a boat without doing a sea trial, just like driving a test car. You don't normally ever buy a used car without taking it for a drive. You just don't do it." But his wife said to him, she goes, "He seems to be really honest. He's an older gentleman that they were buying it from." She goes, "I believe we can trust him." I said, "He says, I believe we can trust him like we can trust Doug." I thought that was a credit, and I thought, Lord, help us to make an impression with people that they know. If they ever want to get saved, if they ever want to become a child of God, if they ever want to get close to God, that they know our faith. It's not just today, 6 months from now, here, there, everywhere, but his faithfulness every single day. You're the same way today, tomorrow, next week. You're not over here one day and back over there. Your attitude's not here. Your emotions aren't over there. And today you're doing fine. We were talking just recently, I had a guy I used to work with years ago. The boss told me, he went through when I first started a job, he told me different people in the shop. He says, now that man over there, you say good morning to him. If he grunts at you or says good morning, you can talk to him. But if he doesn't do either one of them things, you just leave him alone. And I found that to be true. He was so moody. He was in, he was out. I mean, you had to walk over to him almost and just be cautious to how he reacted to you. Let me tell you what, saints, we should never be that way.
Amen.
People should be able to, willing to be able to come up and speak to us and have relationship with us, and us with the world the same way out there in the world. There may be some times we have to take a stand for truth. And Lord, help us to be faithful in those places. Let's go to Psalms chapter 112. In Psalms 112, verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in the everlasting remembrance. In verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusted in the Lord. Verse 7 or verse 6 there, it says, his righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. You know, whatever we accomplish for the Lord, they'll only be remembered for a little while. I've told you before, sometimes your great-grandfather, or grandmother, or grandparents, or cousins way down the road, you don't even know who they are. I've never met my great-grandfather, great-grand on either side. I couldn't even tell you their names. And they were my grandparents' parents. That's only two generations, I guess. I don't even know their names. Now, maybe some of you do. I know Sister Ann, and they got five generations sometimes they've sat right here on the same pew. But he says there in verse 6, he says, the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. That we were righteous. That we were faithful. And verse 7 says, and he shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Do you trust in God? Do you trust in God when things are well? Do you trust in God when things are difficult? There's a song in our songbook. I'm not going to turn over there. Page 225. It says, victory through grace. And with a couple of verses there, it says, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race. But who? To the true and the faithful. Victory is promised. You know, I've often said, you know, some of the greatest blessings we can be to a congregation is just being faithful. You say, well, I don't sing, I don't preach, I don't teach, I don't play the piano. Being faithful. Let me tell you what, just some of the saints, we know some saints down through the times of different congregations, they didn't take part in anything. They may not have had, but they were faithful. They were there when service was there, every single service, they were faithful in there. He says their heart is fixed on the things of God. Job one time, well, of course, you know the story when Job went through all that and he faced his wife. His wife kind of criticized him. He says, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't curse God or turn from God. And later on, he made a comment in the verse in the Bible. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust God. You know, Daniel, when they went to throw him in the lion's den, he didn't know what was going to happen. Daniel probably no doubt thought, this is my life. When they were throwing the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, they probably thought, this is our life.
And God could have allowed that to happen. He could have thrown Daniel in there and the lions could have just tore him up and eat him up and he'd have gone on and be with the Lord. He could have thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and burned them up and they could have gone to be with the Lord. Though the Lord even slay me, allows things to happen, I will trust him. Amen. Faithfulness. Our faithfulness shines when we're put under pressure. Proverbs 10 and 7 says, the memory of the just is blessed. The memories of the just is blessed. Paul says, I remember thy mother and thy grandmother. I remember the genuine faith. And Timothy, I believe it is in thee also. Jesus will say at the end, as we read back here and there, well done. And that's what we want to hear. I don't know if I've ever heard a minister anywhere ever preach or think a comment that their thought is when we stand before God, he's not going to say, well, you were a wonderful piano player, guitar player, preacher, Sunday school teacher, song choir. He's not going to say any of those things. Thou good and faithful servant. That's all we care about. That's all we care about, that we may, it doesn't matter. These are just things, Lord, I'm going to be a helper in the kingdom of God, to be a blessing to somebody, to maybe help someone else make the kingdom of God, maybe help someone else to get saved. But by the grace of God, I want to finish the course. I want to walk through the doors of heaven and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. The Lord help us when we leave this world. That those that we leave behind, there's one thing. They were faithful. They were faithful. What a blessing, that credit to us. If anything could be put on our tombstone, they were a faithful saint by the grace of God. May the Lord bless you as I was saying. If you'd like to get a songbook, stand, turn to page 369. 369.
Prayer for Wednesday is our ordinance service we will have in our revival. I did talk to Brother Tim.